Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope.
Welcome to Quebec Land. I'm your guest host, Brigitte Noël, investigative reporter with Québecor, coming to you from the icy banks of Montreal. Jesse will be back later this week. I'm always getting messages from readers or viewers who want to run things by me. They want to verify information or ask about a rumor, which is totally fair. But in the past few years, these messages have started to include links to blatantly false news stories, often accompanied by an accusatory question, something along the lines of, why isn't the media talking about this? During the California wildfires, for instance, a woman messaged me because she'd heard the blaze had been started by Islamic terrorists. I responded by sending her a really great piece from the New York Times about the investigations into the fire, which, by the way, had no mention of any terrorist involvement. She wrote back saying, I can't read this. It's in English. What I'm getting at is fake news is a virus that spreads freely across borders and languages. But while English-speaking countries can join forces, share fact-checkers, and turn to truth-telling heavyweights like Snopes, languages with fewer speakers have fewer resources to fight back. In Quebec, debunking is mostly done en français. It usually falls to Radio-Canada's Jeff Yates. He's one of the very few brave souls who've taken on this task on a full-time basis. Back in 2014, in that blissful era before Trump, before Brexit, before the term fake news became such an important part of our lexicon, Jeff Yates was just a guy looking into viral hoaxes, asking us to think more critically. Half a decade later, his job is a lot more complicated. He's no longer telling people that no, punching in your PIN backwards at an ATM will not alert police that you're being mugged. Instead, he's navigating a minefield of political ideology, debunking the kind of falsehoods that have been accused of swaying elections or even feeding violence. In March 2017, Yates helped expose one of North America's most prolific fake news mills, an operation set up right here in Quebec. Olivier Legault and his website, World News Daily Report, spent the 2016 U.S. elections gifting the world stories like this. ISIS calls on Muslims to vote for Hillary Clinton, or Yoko Ono admits to homosexual relationship with Hillary Clinton. Both of these stories generated hundreds of thousands of interactions on Facebook alone. They were among the most popular fake news stories of that year. Jeff Yates' work is tailored to the very unique Quebec media ecosystem. This is a province where fake news is often in French and fit for a local audience, a place where fringy nationalist groups and alt-right citizen journalists make a lot of noise. But he's not a leftist shill either. He's challenged environmentalists on posts about glacial ice melt and taken on animal rights groups posting false information about Canada Goose jackets. In short, Jeff Yates trusts no one. Jeff is with me today to discuss the perks and pitfalls of the bullshit detector beat. He's also going to tell us about his efforts to destigmatize sharing fake news and why he thinks we should all be gentler with loved ones who love fake news. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Ruth Lambert, Andrew Bastel, Roanne Argyle, Alex Gillis, Tim Kirkwood, Meredith Schofield, Shelley Lamb, and Jeff Ellis.
Hi, I'm Jeff Ellis. I'm a cartoonist from Vancouver, British Columbia, and I support Canada Land because you cover stories that are often not covered by mainstream media, and you offer perspectives from a really diverse group of people.
This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer. And it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, therapy online that has served over 3 million people around the world, and it's available here in Canada. And this time of year, we're all emerging from our winter-like seclusion and, patio season and socializing, and it can be terrifically fun, but it can also create a lot of pressure. And some people get, like, anxiety, social anxiety from being out too much. What did Iggy Pop say about social life? It's torture dressed as fun. It doesn't need to be torture. I think it's just about finding, like, the right balance of how much of other people do you want? I mean, we need each other, but I think that at a certain point, it can become overwhelming. And talking to somebody about yourself, about your social life, about your relationships is a way of gaining insight into what is right for you. It's not selfish to examine that with a professional. And as the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Listeners of the show get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. That's better, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/CanadaLand.
Nothing untrue? No fake news in my intro?
No, that's okay.
Okay. Why did you get into, how did you get into the fake news beat?
I was always one of those, the annoying friend who was like below your post, like, oh, what you shared is fake, right? that guy. In 2014, I started seeing people were creating sites, making bogus stories. And we're not talking about, satirical things like The Onion, you know, just like they were trying to make money with ads and stuff like that. So I started looking into it and I got in touch with Craig Silverman. At the time, he was a researcher. Now he's media editor at BuzzFeed News.
Yeah.
If you know the term fake news, it's because of him, right? I was working for Metro newspaper back in the day, and he's like, there's these guys for Metro in Sweden who started a fact-checking blog. You should talk to them. So I did. And then I was like, oh, I'll bring this idea back to Montreal. So I kind of stole their idea.
And you became inspector.
Yeah. So like their feature in Swedish was I'm going to mess
this
up.
Please tell us the
viral granskaren or something like that, which means the viral eye. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I decided to do the viral inspector. We started trying it out. The person in charge of blogs at the paper was like, well, if you start this blog, do you think you could do like one article a week? And I was like, I don't know if there's enough fake news. And lo and behold, after something like, close to 300 blog posts at Metro Newspaper. I moved on to Radio-Canada in early 2017.
How has that been? How has that evolved over time?
We used to see a lot more false claims about health, diets, hoaxes on celebrities being dead, stuff like that. You know, it's not harmless, but in the past years, it's really gone political. I mean, people have realized that you can change people's opinions and you can mobilize them by basically lying to them. So you're playing to their base instincts. That's how social media works. When people react, the algorithm likes that and it'll make your posts go farther.
Tell me about Olivier Legault and the World News Daily Report.
Yeah, so Olivier and his friend Jeannick Murray-Hall, they started this satirical newspaper in Quebec called the Journal de Montréal, which is a play on the Journal de Montréal, which is the Quebec's biggest newspaper.
The one I work for.
Yeah, exactly. So they did it's a satirical website. You know, the logo is really close to the real paper, and so people get confused. But the point of that is to be funny, right? Like, so they'll basically play off of what's happening in the news with really exaggerated stories, which is basically what The Onion does. You know, it's fair game. Satire is good for society. I think, you know, if it's well done, it can get you to think about what's going on in the world. But they do have another website, which is for an American audience, which is
called... And it's more behind the scenes that they do this.
Yeah, so it's called the World News Daily Report. It's a fake news website. I mean, they say it's satirical, but there's no real... I don't see the joke, right? So, you know, it's written straight. It's presented as if it's true. And, you know, so they were doing political stories. Right now they're doing fake police blotter reports, you know, basically like doing, oh, this woman got pregnant from a corpse because she works at the morgue or stuff like that. People believe them. They're getting a lot of clicks. Relatively harmless once again, but you know, it's junk basically. So BuzzFeed did a top 50 of the most popular pieces of fake news. They had 10 pieces on the top 50. So you know, very popular. It's run in Quebec City here in Quebec.
And you kind of outed them. I mean, I'm looking at their website right now, and it doesn't really say it's a fake news site.
It says like in the about section, I think, that it's satire. And so, you know, if you go look, if you do a Who Is query on the website, you'll see that it's run out of Quebec. You'll see their names. So when there was a big backlash against fake news in 2017, Google demonetized their website, right? So when I talked to them back then, they took a hit, but they're running ads on another platform. I think it's Taboola now. And so they've managed to keep on trucking. Their biggest hit last year was something like... this guy won the lottery and dumped $200,000 worth of manure on his boss's lawn. Like, you know, I mean, you know,
I saw that.
Yeah, well, if you believe that, it, you know, it's not that bad. But when I talked to Olivier, he told me that what's funny about the site is people believe it. That's the joke, right? So
he's like laughing at his audience.
So basically, yeah. So, you know, the satire in that is that these people will believe anything. That's the joke. It's kind of like performance art, you know. It's like you have to get what you want out of it, basically.
But most of what you cover is French fake news. Yeah. So I want to talk about the intricacies of doing this work en français. Uh-huh. Do you feel like it's more of a challenge?
If you're looking at English fake news, there's a lot of resources out there, right? So there's Snopes, which has existed since the beginning of the internet, basically. So, you know, if there's fake news in English, usually there's a lot of people working on it. If you're looking at French fake news, well, you know, you're the one who's doing it. Yeah, fake news in Quebec looks the same as anywhere else. I mean, if you look at it, it's the same things that come over and over again. And even you'll see in Quebec fake news that is just basically Google translated into French.
So what's the landscape like in Quebec? What kind of like CD communities do you have to monitor?
What fake news looks like in Quebec is basically people posting stuff on their own Facebook pages. So instead of sharing a website, they'll just share a meme or a post or whatever. And that's really frustrating because if it's an article that people share, you can track that. You know, you can use tools to track who is sharing this, where did it originate from, who's the first person to share this, and you can also track down who wrote it because you can look up the websites you know, metadata, and you can find out information. But when it's people sharing on their own walls, really hard to track it because it's all native in Facebook.
It's just a meme that someone put.
So you don't know who's the first that shared this. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't even know how many people have seen it. So, you know, someone sends me a meme, you know, it's been shared 3,000 times, but there's other copies of this meme because other people have downloaded the image and put it on their own Facebook page. So then you're like, I call it guerrilla fake news. It's, you're basically in the jungle and you're surrounded by fake news. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know how popular it is, where it is. You're trying to address a specific issue and you don't even know what you're fighting against.
That sounds exhausting. I do not envy you.
That's what we're looking at. Cause you know, what we saw in 2016 with the election in the US was like an industry of fake news. You know, even Macedonian teens were in on it, you know, creating websites to get clicks, right? We won't see this in Quebec because population is, you know, 8 million in Quebec, 6 million people speak French. History may prove me wrong, but I don't think you'll see kids in Macedonia creating fake news about our Quebec elections.
Not profitable.
No, and you know, some kids in Quebec tried to create fake news websites back in like 2014, 2015, and it didn't work. Like, they got some big hits, but I don't think it's a viable business model, so you don't see that. So in Quebec, we don't see as many sites. We're seeing more, like I said, things that are shared in Facebook, and it's harder to track, ironically.
In October of last year, Quebec elected a right-of-center government that some would qualify as populist. Now, François Legault is far from Donald Trump or even Doug Ford, for that matter, but has his election and his political stance affected your work at all?
No, not really. And this surprised me. I was really gearing up for the Quebec election. So I, you know, I asked all my readers, you know, if you see something, send it. And I got, you know, a big response. I got maybe 120, 130 people sending me, you know, hey, I saw this. Hey, I saw this. I saw no massive coordinated campaign to like spread fake. There was a couple things that started spreading, but they were so not popular that I didn't want to cover them to not give them even more visibility. Yeah. So when you address something, sometimes you can give it more visibility than it had. So it was basically the normal level of fake news. There was no concerted effort or whatever.
I just want to go back to that. The phenomenon that when you talk about it, it will become more popular. I feel like that's inevitable when you're talking about fake news.
It's a well-known effect. So people will remember the claim, but not remember that you said it's false, right?
So what's your barometer for like, okay, this doesn't warrant?
So I work on two measures, basically. One is popularity. The other one is potential impact. That's what I look at. So if something is super popular, like, you know, 300,000 shares, but it's kind of like it won't hurt anybody, I might cover it because it's really popular and a lot of people are probably wondering if it's true. If it's a relatively low number of shares, but it's really potentially damaging, so, you know, if it's going to incite violence or something like that, I might look into debunking that because the risk is there, right? You go with your gut. So you're like, should I cover this? And I'm always wondering, should I cover this? And I try to stick with things that I have no doubts about. I'm like, yes, this is an important issue. And also, if there's a learning moment that could come from it, you know, like when I debunk fake news, I try to tell people, you know, this is why it's fake. This is how they created this fake thing. So, you know, this is how they manipulated this picture or this picture. You know, this is where it comes from. It doesn't show what you think it shows. You know, trying to get some learning into there, hoping people actually read the article.
Okay. And you just took on this very nice tone trying to tell people kindly about this fake news. You told me that 2019 for you was the year of destigmatizing fake news sharing, of being nice to people who do it, because we kind of all maybe at some point will fall into that trap.
Yeah, sure.
What's that philosophy and how do you apply it?
First of all, like, everybody has that family member who shares fake news, and what happens when you attack them for sharing fake news? What happens if you tell someone
Thanksgiving dinner is very awkward?
Yeah. But you know, if you tell someone you're an idiot for believing this, they will not listen. That's the best way to make someone not listen to you, is basically mm-hmm. attacking them, right? And so I think we should look at trying to help people learn rather than attacking them. Because anyways, attacking them is not productive, right? And so, you know, it happens to everybody. I've shared fake news in the past year. You know, it's happened to
me.
What
did you share?
It was a piece of fake news about a conspiracy theorist. I saw an image on Twitter that was making fun of a conspiracy theorist in the U.S. And, you know, I thought it was true because, of course, this guy's ridiculous. And it turned out to be false. You know, I did what I tell people not to do, which is share it without, you know, verifying the source looked kind of credible. The guy had a
confirmed
blue check mark,
beliefs.
You know? Yeah. So it fell into all the same traps, everybody. So I think it's important to actually talk about that, you know, like the world is becoming more and more complicated. It's hard for even people who work in the news business to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
And so I think we should have honest conversations about this. You can use fake news as a learning tool, right? So what I would say is, you know, if one of the members of your family sharing something that isn't true, one thing is to not say it in public unless you have a really close bond with that person. Because if you do it in public, like in the comments section, basically, there's the instinct to protect your ego. So you don't want people to know you didn't, you know. So maybe go into Messenger or your phone call or something.
Slide into the DMs.
Or, and I also say, like, ask more questions than anything else. Just like, where did you get this information? You know, why do you think this is a credible source of information? If you see a fault in the logic, maybe ask questions about that. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to, especially if you're looking at conspiracy stuff, it's not easy to get someone to change their mind about it. But you might be able to maybe create a seed of doubt in their mind, you know, like, people can break out of a conspiracy mindset, but it has to come from within. You're not going to badger them into not believing that the CIA faked the moon landing. You know, you will not change their mind, but you could maybe, you know, get them to change their mind eventually by placing a bit of doubt in their mind.
So on January 31st, a few days after the anniversary of the Quebec mosque shooting, François Legault announced that, unlike John Tory in Toronto, he would not be declaring January 29th a day against Islamophobia. And his reason was that there's no Islamophobia in Quebec. Now, we were saying you spent a lot of time looking at the dialogues that these communities are having in, you know, the fake news conspiracy theory realm. What kind of reaction did you see following this?
Oh, people were applauding. You know, ironically, people are saying, of course, there's no Islamophobia in Quebec, while saying Islamophobic things. And I mean, there was this politician in Gatineau,
the deputy mayor
of Gatineau, who basically said, yeah, of course, you know, there's no Islamophobia. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. You know, if you tell people what they already think they know, then they'll applaud, right?
So I just want to touch on what the mayor said. She said, of course, there's no Islamophobia, but those people did a lot of things wrong, and it's normal to be afraid of them. That was her statement. And that's interesting, because after she said that, people, the internet being what it is, people went and dug deep on her online presence and found that she was also a possible flat earther. Yes. Are you concerned by how far-reaching this is getting?
I'm not surprised. You know, when you start believing one conspiracy, it leads to others.
But politicians believing that the earth is flat is...
But I mean, for anybody, if you start believing in one conspiracy, logically, if you follow the logic through, it will go into other things. So if you think the earth is flat, then you have to believe that the government's lying, that NASA is lying, that all the airlines are lying. So then if the government's lying, what else are they lying about? And then, well, if the government's lying, the media must be lying because they're helping them cover it up. And if the media is lying, then everything they say isn't true. So, I mean, you see how this builds and builds and builds, and, you know, until it creates an all-encompassing narrative. And so it's not surprising, but, you know, I yeah, I really felt depressed when I saw that. You know, so flat earthers went from a fringe movement, like, you know, in the 1990s, there was like 100 people in the Flat Earth Society in the U.S., you know. They had a newsletter.
How many are they now?
I don't know. But the thing is, modern flat earthers don't like the Flat Earth Society because they don't go far enough, right?
There's like factions of the flat earth movement.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
And, you know, I saw recently that there was a Facebook group, you know, Flat Earth Quebec. And, you know, it had a couple thousand people. And that's disconcerting. I mean,
but surely there's a lot of gawkers on there just going to
look. Of course. And there's people trolling them also, like sending them pictures and look, you can see there's no curve or stuff like that. You know, of course there's going to be that. And, you know, let's face it. A lot of people use Facebook for entertainment. You know, you might be just going through conspiracies cause you think they're fun. You know, so, you know, some people go to conspiracy blogs because it's like watching the X-Files, you know, it's intriguing, it's exciting, you know, you kind of look at that, maybe not take it too seriously. So let's not overstate the problem. At the same time, seeing public figures, you know, basically pushing these stories and saying, well, do your own research. And then saying, yeah, I did my research on YouTube. I mean, it could lead to worse things, you know. So like I said, flat earth, maybe not that bad a conspiracy in the grand scheme of things, but these all interlock and they can lead you down the rabbit hole to more dangerous conspiracies.
Okay, moving away from the conspiracy theories, can you tell me about other pieces you worked on? I mean, Canada Goose was a pretty powerful one.
Yeah, so
elicited okay, a lot of passion.
So people always ask me if I get hate mail. And I do, but it's not as bad as people think, which is surprises me, really. You know, there's some people in the comments, but actually, like, people writing to me in private saying,
what did
you
they
know,
say?
No, like I said, it doesn't happen that often, but it happens when I touch on environmental stuff. So it's kind of interesting because, like, if I'll cover some fake news about immigration, people will say, oh, of course, Radio-Canada, you know, you guys
they're
are in
used
bed.
To you.
You guys are in bed with the immigrants, of course, right? So it's
do
basically
you get accused of being partisan?
Yeah, of course. But what's interesting is the really mad people is when I cover fake news about the environment.
So the two environmental stories that I can think of are the Canada Goose one and the glacier. Do you want to just give us the context? What were those?
Yeah,
stories?
I mean, so a couple of weeks back was, you know, the famous 10-year challenge. And so someone did 10-year challenge and then it was a picture of this big glacier or iceberg, sorry. And then, you know, you see it in 2009, it's huge. And then in 2019, there's nothing left. It's basically melted down and it was massively popular. A guy from Quebec City actually created that one. And it ended up on like some reality stars' Instagram pages. Like it blew up. 200,000 retweets, but people downloaded it and shared it on their own pages, right? So
hard to measure, but huge.
Impossible to measure, but in the millions of shares, probably. And so it wasn't true. Like the two images, one was taken in the North Pole, the other one was taken in the South Pole. So
how did you figure that out?
Well, Google image search, it took like 5 minutes, you know? And so I just wrote up a short article like, look, hey guys, you know, this image isn't true. It was one of my most popular posts on Facebook, but for the wrong reasons, you know, and you can see that the hate click reigns supreme on Facebook. So people were writing in the comments, you know, like, why are you attacking the environmental movement? Or they would say, who gives a shit if it's not true? You know, it's going to convince people about global warming and what are you against us and stuff like that. And it's, you know, same reaction I got when I, you know, debunked a story where people were showing a picture of some kids breaking a statue of Jesus. And then they said it's Muslims in Sweden, you know, they hate Jesus, they hate the Christians. And then, you know, the picture was actually from Chile and it was students during a student riot. You know, they broke in and they, you know, there was nothing religious about it. They just broke a statue because they're dumb kids.
The Canada Goose one, you had shared pictures or you, yeah, you debunked pictures. Yeah. You didn't share it. But
no, so it was like pictures, you know, saying Canada Goose is a horrible company. They kill, you know, foxes to make their jackets, which is probably true. But there was pictures of, you know, all these foxes killed in horrible ways. And, you know, I tracked down the pictures and they were from hunting blogs. You know, someone in, you know, one was a person in like Newfoundland saying, oh, we, you know, we went on a fox hunt and we got 26 foxes and showing off their booty, basically. Another one was from a hunting contest in Las Vegas. You know, it was like really, so basically they're not showing foxes killed by the Canada Goose company. So you can be mad at Canada Goose for killing animals. That's, you know, you're allowed, of course. But those aren't pictures. You know, these horrible pictures are, they don't show what you think it shows.
They have nothing to do with the company.
Yeah. So people are like, well, what, you work for Canada Goose now? Or what, we can't share pictures unless they're officially stamped, you know, and approved by Canada Goose? Or another one I heard was, yeah, well, news sites always use stock photos, you know? So like, if a newspaper writes an article about, you know, domestic violence, of course they're not going to go take a picture of a real,
Fair point.
That's a point. But the thing
it's
is...
a point. It's not a fair
but
point,
the thing
maybe.
Is, you know, when newspapers do it, there's a photo credit. It's obviously from, you know, from a photo service. We're not saying this woman in this picture got beat up by her husband, right? That's not, we never make that claim, right? Whereas these people say, look at these dead animals, they're from Canada Goose. So, you know, some people might think it's semantics, but there is a difference. People get mad. They're like, yeah, well, maybe the image isn't true, but that's what reality is. Yeah, so like,
Jeffy everybody hates the planet.
But that's the thing, is like, when people get riled up about these fake images and stuff, it's part of the narrative they believe in. So, you know, I've changed my thinking on fake news a lot in the past years, and what I've kind of figured out is fake news is a new type of communication. So what matters isn't the facts that are alleged in the post, it's the story behind it. So in that sense, it's completely justified to share a fake image because, well, you know, maybe this isn't an image of Muslims breaking a statue of Jesus in Sweden, but it's true that Muslims are bad. So it's like they're trying to tell a larger story with these fake information. So that's what makes it hard to fight these types of things, because they believe in the larger narrative and they're just trying to tell a story with these pieces. And even if you tell them that picture isn't true or that fact isn't true, they won't care because the larger story is true to them.
And that's what matters.
And that's what matters to them.
I noticed that when we were trying to coordinate this interview, you don't have Facebook Messenger on your phone. You seem to not answer it. Like, how do you keep your sanity?
I've been sober for a year now.
Congratulations.
So I basically only use Facebook for work. So 9 to 5. I deleted Messenger and the Facebook app off my phone. In very rare circumstances will I go on Facebook during, you know, the weekend or on evenings. You know, some of my family's on Facebook if I want to get in touch with them, you know. But no, I feel a lot better. I mean, also being that Facebook is where I work, it's like my office. So it was like having my office in my house, you know, 24 hours a day. You know, I would wake up, see a reader sent me a message. Hey, is this picture true? And then I'd be working, basically, just like trying to track down this picture. You know, I guess that says more about me than about Facebook. But so for me, I thought it was good to just log off. I did like one of those famous Facebook cures, you know, didn't go on Facebook for like a week and a half, just like went on vacation and just, you know, basically went off the grid. And when I came back to work, I was like, no, you know, Facebook is for work.
What are those fake news stories that refuse to die? You call them zombies. Tell me about
the
them.
Zombies. Well, the classic example, and I think this is the piece of fake news that has been the most shared in the history of Quebec. It's basically like one of those chain letters. And it says basically that the mayor of Dorval, which is a city, a city on the outskirts of Montreal. So the mayor of Dorval, you know, some Muslim students asked him to ban pork from the school cafeteria, and he said no. And then, you know, let's all follow the example of this glorious Dorval mayor. So mayors in Quebec have absolutely no power over the school. So, you know, this story is outright false. It's impossible that it would be true. I debunked this back in 2015. I'm not the first or the only one. And it still keeps coming back. Someone sent me this summer one post that was created in 2017. It was shared 176,000 times. This is 2 years after it was debunked, and it's one copy of this story. It's only one copy. There are many, many others. If you take the words in the post and you write it in Facebook search engine, you'll find other copies. So I tracked that story down, actually. And I haven't written about this yet, so...
Oh, exclusive.
No, no, but so I tracked this down, and it's basically, it's a story from France. So this actually happened a couple years back in a small city in France. It was a big, big controversy over there. You know, the mayor had to say, well, look, we did not ban pork, but, you know, it has nothing to do with religion, blah, blah, blah. A far-right blog wrote a story about this. And what we're seeing in Quebec is that blog post, but with the name of the city changed, basically. So that's what we're seeing is, you know...
That's the zombie.
Yeah, that's the zombie that refuses to die, is basically someone actually did this. So they went on the site, they copied the whole text, then they shared it on Facebook, but they changed, you know, the name of the French city for Dorval and shared it. And this thing is, you know, I don't know of a true news story that has had that many shares on Facebook. And it's completely made. Well,
that's,
you know, there's
very discouraging for journalists.
Have you ever had 176,000 shares on
a
story? No, of course not. Probably in the next month or so, someone will send it to me. Hey, is this true? So yeah, that thing is a monster. You know, another thing that keeps coming back that Canadian readers will have heard about is this, you know, this story about how the Canadian government is spending more on refugees than retired people.
Yeah.
You know, that stems from an opinion letter. I think it was in the National Post or the Globe and Mail or something. I think this was like in 2011 or basically a long while back. And people are still sharing this, you know, so they'll make memes out of this. They'll take the numbers out of the letter. And there's many different versions of this idea being shared on social media in English, in French. Funny enough, you can see it in the US also. I think Donald Trump even shared one of these stories. So that's the thing, is the whole world is connected now. So it's really easy for stories to start in a small community somewhere and then blow up because people will adapt them to their own realities. And like I was saying before, a lot of people don't care about the precise facts because what's important is the story. So you tell them, well, no, the government does not spend more money on refugees than on retired people, and they'll say, well, I don't care about the numbers, you know, the government spends too much money, period, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the story they're trying to tell with these fake news pieces.
Do you feel like you're preaching to the choir when you publish your stories? Do you feel like it's getting to the people who share the fake news, or do you think it's just other disbelievers?
So it depends on what. Yes, there is that risk. So if as a news media, you're covering fake news, you're basically talking to people who already trust the media. You know, it's not black or white, but basically, yes. But the thing is, some people are polarized and it's very hard to change their minds, but not everybody is polarized about everything. So it's important to realize that someone might be super polarized against immigration, but they don't necessarily know what to think about vaccines. So you could get to them with a vaccine story and maybe not with the immigrant story, right? So you need to be there for people. And also, I don't have any empirical studies, but this is my gut feeling, is that most of what we're seeing on social media is generated by a minority of people. So if you go look at the comments, you know, angry comments and stuff, it's always the same people who are commenting, you know, 30, 40 times a day, sharing 10, 12 stories on their Facebook. It's the most motivated people who generate all this traffic. And that's what we see on social media. So our vision of reality is warped because we're seeing the most extreme people. So the people who are maddest, the people who are most convinced of what they believe in are the ones who are on social media spamming this stuff out, right? A lot of people just go on Facebook, they'll scroll a bit, they'll click on stories, they won't even comment. You know, I don't know the last time you wrote a comment under a news article.
I've never done that.
Yeah, right. So, but the people who do that are the most
motivated. I've seen
motivated.
You comment on people's posts. You're still that guy saying that's not true.
But on news?
Not on news, sites. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So like, I think we have to realize that what we're seeing on Facebook is not reality. We're seeing the most motivated people, right. The most convinced people. So there is like a way overexposed expression. There is a silent majority, I think, of people that might believe, might not believe, and you need to be there for them. And you know, when you publish a story, you're there on Google. If they're trying to find out what the truth is, they'll see your article if they do a search on Google. And you know, a lot of my readers that send me questions are the type of people that would fall for fake news. You know, they send me a picture and they're like, "Can you please tell me this is true? I really want to share it because I'm really
mad."
Can
you tell me it's true?
Yeah, yeah. And they, you know, they want it. So, I mean, I think we have to have a bit of faith in humanity, you know. And you know, of course, the hardcore people, I'm not going to get through to them, unfortunately. But there is a lot of people who can be swayed, maybe not on everything. But you know, you got to be there for the people who are looking for answers, because the alternative is like, well, we won't cover fake news and we'll just let everything go as it's been going, you know, and I don't think that that's productive at all.
And that was Your Canada Land. Thanks to CJLO in Montreal for recording this interview. Canada Land is on Twitter at Canada Land. The website is canadalandshow.com. Canada Land's managing editor is Kevin Sexton. This episode was produced by Kasia Mihailovic. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. A new episode of Oppo will be out tomorrow, so look out for that. I'm Brigitte Noël, and Jesse Brown will be back on Thursday with Shortcuts. If you like what you hear, support Canada Land on Patreon, where you can get perks like ad-free podcasts.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.